We're going to move on into 1 Corinthians. We've kind of been away from it, but we're back. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. It reads, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one says, 'I follow Paul,' another says, 'I follow Apollos.' Are you not mere men?" What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, but you are God's field, God's building." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is new and living each day, that it's not just something that was said thousands of years ago, but that it's spoken fresh and anew as we read it here this morning. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here present right now, and that you would anoint me to preach your word. Lord, that you would give supernatural wisdom to each person here, that as they hear, they would recognize and grab onto your word and see how and where to apply it to their lives. Not how it worked back then, but how it's to work for them now. Lord, give us understanding of your will and your heart and your purposes for us this day. Lord, we ask that you would be present here and that your people would be encouraged and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, back in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, we're told that we're infants. We have an infant here in the room. And nobody gets upset when an infant acts like an infant. At least we're not supposed to. Sometimes we do. But we don't get mad at the infant for being an infant. You expect a child to be a child. However, when we get older, we're not supposed to act like infants anymore. And if we act like that, we say they're being childish. Well, Paul's taking out the finger and he's shaking it at, he's wagging his finger in people's faces to... He's saying, "You are infants. I can't speak to you in a spiritual way because you're still a child." He's talking to the Corinthians and he's saying that you're immature. They're supposed to be more mature at this point. But all the evidence points otherwise. He says, "You can't understand the spiritual arguments. I have to speak to you with worldly arguments because of your immaturity." this is really bothering me, but you've got to remember. Remove my barricades. No. Here we are. Paul's talking to these guys. He's saying, you're quarreling about whether you're following Paul or Apollos. That's just proof of your immaturity. See, you've got jealousy, quarreling. You're worldly, like mere men. Mere men. I'm not talking about mermen, like the guy who was like a fish. We're talking mere men. That means, what's the mereness about it? The mereness is that there gives you the, when you say mere, you're saying there's something missing from them. Just mere children. Well, what's missing from a child? Maturity. You don't expect, you get wisdom from a mere child, you're like aghast. Oh, it came from a mere child. We don't expect that from there. You're a mere man. What, as opposed to what kind of man? A spiritual man or woman. Someone who actually has the Holy Spirit living and working in them. See, that's why he's taking them to task, is that they have not given the Holy Spirit free reign within their life. It's not the Holy Spirit that's guiding and directing them. They may have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit isn't running the show. They've been born again. But they're not growing. They're not maturing. The evidence of it is this argument that they're having. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Jesus. I follow Christ. I'm following who? What? Where? So we're all supposed to be following God. Not supposed to be chasing after different people. It's supposed to be one head of the body. That's Christ. But here they are. They're being worldly. They're mere men. Why? Because it's not the Holy Spirit that's guiding and leading. Supposedly, these people are having a spiritual disagreement. Are they not? I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. Paul teaches one thing, Apollos teaches another. No, they don't. They both were teaching the same thing. They may have given a presentation a little bit different manner. If you come and you listen to me preach, and then you go across town and listen to somebody else preach who preaches the Word of God, it's going to be different. But hopefully it's the same. Hopefully I'm preaching the Word of God. Hopefully they're preaching the Word of God. Well, Paul was preaching the Word of God. Apollos was preaching the Word of God. And people were getting all confused and hooking up with the guy instead of the message. Their spiritual argument wasn't spiritual. It was worldly. Now, we've gotten beyond that in the church, right? I mean, churches, people don't get upset about non-spiritual things here in the church anymore, right? I literally know of churches that have split over colors of choir robes and colors of carpet and things like this. It's like, hey, it's more spiritual. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with spiritual. Now we should split. Or I should say you should all leave. If I'm preaching anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified as your means to salvation. If I'm giving you anything else other than that as your means to heaven, boot me out or leave, but don't hang with me. So their supposed worldly argument wasn't, or supposedly spiritual argument wasn't spiritual. It was nothing but a worldly argument. So what is Apollos and what is Paul? Who are the points that they're arguing about, saying, I'm following these guys. Both are tools, servants of the Lord, who God has directed and said, one, you go here and you do this. One, you go here and do that. Anybody here work with more than one person ever? Does everybody always do the same thing? Don't you have different people who do different tasks in the job? We can't have the kindergarten teacher attempting to teach a kindergarten lesson to the high school students. This is what an A looks like. Well, maybe some of our high school students need that. But that's because somebody wasn't doing their job somewhere else. Around here, the church. Our worship team. Butch is up here leading. He's not also trying to run the soundboard and play the organ all at the same time. But the organ needed to be played, the sound booth needed to be run, and he needed to sing along with the rest of the worship team in order for there to be sound, music together for everybody here. So everybody did their specific task to come together for one thing. We take out any of them, all of a sudden we have something less. You don't have what you would have had. So what is Paul? What is Apollos? They're both servants. They're tools that God used for a specific task. Paul talks, he says, I planted, Apollos watered. Both are important tasks for the farmer, are they not? Anybody ever plant anything? Could you grow something if it wasn't planted? Well, yeah, I've grown stuff. I didn't plant it. I went to the nursery and I bought it. It was already planted in an old pot. Well, somebody planted it then, didn't they? Somewhere along the line, that thing got planted. And you had to water it. You had to feed it. If you didn't, it didn't matter how well they did planting it because it dies. But if somebody else didn't plant it, you couldn't water it. So, Paul's talking here, he's saying, we're not important, Paul, Apollos and I, we're not it. We're just tools. It's God. God is the only one who gives the increase. God's the one who caused things to grow. We just did our job. That's all we did. We just did what it was that God told us to do. Now, God is to be the focus, not anyone else. God uses and directs for His purpose. If Paul or Apollos are the focus, then Christ isn't the head and God isn't the one who's getting the glory. And Paul's going, no, you're being worldly. See, that you're chasing after me or Paul or Apollos, and that's just wrong. Now, does that still happen today? Yes. There are people out there who are committed to individuals instead of God's word and God's message. And they think that they're being spiritual about it. This is a great teacher, and they may be a wonderful teacher, but you shouldn't be committed to them. You need to be committed to the message. You need to be committed to what God and what He's teaching through that person who's just one part of His task. God doesn't teach any of us through one conduit. There's many coming in from different directions all the time. It's God who gives the increase. He directs according to His purpose, and He rewards according to His own policy. Jesus gives a parable where He talks about a guy who hires day laborers. He goes out in the morning and he hires a bunch of guys, and he goes out later in the afternoon and he hires a bunch of guys, and then 1 hour before the day's out, he goes out. What? Nobody's hired you guys? I'll hire you. Come on in. And then they come out and they work at his field for an hour, and then he pays everybody. And he pays everybody the same wage. He gives everybody a full day's salary. Now, the people who got paid in the morning, who got hired in the morning, they're going, hey, what's the deal? We worked all day and we got paid the same. And these guys, he said, hold it. It's my money. It's my field. I can pay people what I want to. Now, did I not tell you I would pay you a full day's wage for working for me? And they say, yes. Did I pay you a full day's wage? Yes. What's your problem? God rewards according to His plan, His agenda. If He wants to reward one person for this, one person for that, as long as the person is obedient to doing what it is He's asked, He will reward them accordingly. Some people are asked to stand up front here behind pulpits, like I do. Some people are asked to stand next to people in cash registers and say, hey, no, you got the wrong idea about who God is. Some people are asked to hold somebody who's crying because of a loss of a loved one. Which one gets the better reward? Well, God's told us that they all get the same. Salvation in heaven. As long as they do what it is He's told them to do. If they've received Him as Lord and Savior, and then they do what it is that He's told them to do, He's going to bless them. As long as you do what it is God has told you to do, He's going to bless you. Paul and Apollos are spiritually more mature. Therefore, God can and does use them as His tools. But the immature believers, the ones who are squabbling about who they're going to follow, God can't use them. Because they're not listening. You say, Pastor, you can't say God can't. God can do anything. God can use anybody. Let's just put it this way. God won't. Because He's given us free will. He said, do it. But if we don't listen and we don't do it, He doesn't force us. Both the immature believer and the mature believer are God's work. Now it's the task of those of us who are mature. Hopefully we would all here raise our hand and say, mature believer here, yes, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what it is God's. Now, we might be at different levels of maturity. Some might be more mature than others, but hopefully none of us are spiritual infants, aside from that one over there. Just looking at who we have here this morning, and I know each and every one of you. We're supposed to be mature. You're supposed to be. That means you're supposed to be listening to God and following what it is He's directed you to do. That your desire is to do what it is that God tells you to do for His glory. We need to each grow up spiritually so that we're not infants, so that God can use us. We need to give up our worldly alliances, beliefs, our lives, give ourselves over to God and the Holy Spirit, and to do whatever it is He asks. Sometimes He asks us to do stuff that we're uncomfortable with. Sometimes we ask us to do stuff we said, scratch our heads and go, why? I don't get it. What's the point? I've told you the story about a friend of mine who was asked to, God woke him up in the middle of the night, told him to go stand in the middle of a convenience store. He stood there for an hour, half hour, hour, whatever, and finally God said, okay, now go home. He said, what? He was obedient. He wasn't an infant. Because he allowed the Holy Spirit to work within him. See, we're God's work. Paul is speaking here about believers as being God's field, God's building. He's going to go later in the chapter talking more about the construction of a building. But it was a field. You've got the planting and the watering and the giving of God brings the growth so that there's a harvest. It's God who gives the increase. It's God who is leading and directing and working in each of these fields. And where are the fields? Raise your hand if you're a field. I want to see everybody's hand up because you all should get this point. You are all a field. God is working in you, conform you more and more into the image of Christ each and every day. God is working through you to help conform others around you. There isn't a one of us here who's perfect. First and foremost on that list is me. I know it. Sometimes I don't act like it. I understand that. But I try. Sometimes I succeed. And that's what we're told here. Is we need to try. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. Thing is going nuts on me. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. When Paul's saying you, he's also pointing back at himself. God's working in him. God's working through him. But only if we're open. And we can't use the spiritual argument upon those who are immature and childish. And he's trying to come up to them and say, hey, wake up. You say you're spiritually mature. You're not. How do I know it? Because you're still dealing with jealousy and strife within the body. You're fighting about stuff that doesn't make a whit of difference. That's worldly. So, examine. We need to examine our own self, our individually and as a church body, and say, hey, what are we doing? What are we having disagreement about? Is it due to God's direction or is it due to worldly desires where we're at? So we can seek the Holy Spirit It's leading and guidance, and we can become more mature. Then we become open to hearing and understanding those spiritual arguments that Paul has. Now, I'm going to give you just an aside. This is kind of an extra point that wasn't part of planned today's sermon. I'm doing that because we got extra time. I got like at least 3 minutes. Now I lost my point. I hate it when I do that. It was right there. I had this that I was going to tell you, and I know I shouldn't do that. I should just go right in and say what I'm going to say. Particularly when it's not in the notes. Okay. Let's just seek the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask that you would help each one of us here to be used of you, to be blessed by you, to be a blessing to those around us. Help us, Lord, to be a help to those around us. Father God, open our eyes to see where it is each one of us might be behaving as infants, as spiritual infants. And might we seek instead to be mature, to give up our worldly ways, our thoughts, our alliances, allegiances, and beliefs. May we give ourselves fully to you and follow you in all things so that you might best use us in planting your field and in building your building, which is indeed the church, which is us, individually and corporately. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.